above. I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair, and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin. Because a sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. The great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One in himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my
Turn with me to the book of James this morning. The book of James. I want to read one verse. And that is verse 17 of the first chapter. James 1 and verse 17. Among the things that James writes, he writes this statement, led by the Spirit of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow upturning. When I read that verse this week, there was a verse in a hymn that came to my mind. A verse that says, swift to close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Everything in this world is ever changing. Nothing stays the same. Nothing in our circumstances or our situations, nothing in this world around us, nothing in ourselves. But James here in the Word of God declares what is called by some his immutability. That is, God does not change. He cannot change for the better because he's perfect. And he will not change for the worse. It says here, in him is no variableness. He doesn't vary one way or the other, but is eternally the same. And neither is there any shadow of turning. And this makes utterly foolish all the cries that come in every generation for a contemporary God, or for a gospel that is relevant for the times. All this shows man's ignorance of God. God is always the same. And he's the same in all his attributes. He's the same Holy One that we read about in Psalm 99. He's the same in his justice. He cannot be unjust. He's the same in his righteousness. He's the same in his glory and exaltation. And because of that, he will not alter or diminish in his threats of punishment to men. He's not becoming softer. He's not altering in what he has stated in the past concerning judgment. And God is the same in all his decrees. They are eternal and they are unchangeable. Therefore, he does not act based on foreseen faith or anything else in men that he sees or might know that they will do. He's the same. And he does not react, nor does he ever learn anything or find out anything new. Sometimes men act as if they have surprised God. He sees all things in one entire and eternal view, all at one time, and everything. He's the eternal God. And he said through the prophet Isaiah, he said, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." And that could be approached, all this idea about God as he is, as the unchanging one. There are a lot of things that we could deal with concerning that. We could deal with his judgment. It's going to be like he says it will be. We could deal with his nature. He's the same as he always was. We could deal with so many things. But I think especially it is a marvelous thing to us as sinners if we deal with it in light of what he said through the prophet Malachi. Hold your place here and turn over to the book of Malachi. Because in James, this is not the first time we read about God's not ever changing. But here it speaks of his mercy to his people in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And this is an encouragement to the people of God. It's an encouragement to God's elect. In every generation, before Malachi's day, since Malachi's day, everything that we have true hope in rests in this fact: God does not change. Did you notice one important word there in that verse? The word "therefore." Somebody said, when you come to that word in Scripture, you need to see what it's there for. He says, "Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Why? "I am the Lord, I change not." And this is actually the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, speaking here. "I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Don't believe me? Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. The apostle says here, in speaking all that he speaks, like James, he reminds them of something. And that is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and there and forever. And this is about as comforting a thing for the Lord's people that there could ever be. That is, that Jehovah Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall save his people from their sins, he is the Christ, the anointed of God, the Messiah, that prophet, the King of Kings, as we just sung, and our great high priest. And notice what Malachi said. He's the same. He changes not. And in the midst of all the instability that is within us and around us, and throughout this ever-changing world, there is one who is eternally and unchangeably the same. The Lord does not change. And this is not the Lord in some generic sense. This is the one who has relationship to us if we're his child. This is the one who was sent to be our Savior. This is the one who is God manifest in the flesh, and this is our hope. He changes not. Because all of false religion makes God reactionary. You do something, he'll do something. You sin, God will get you. You do this, God will save you. You do the other, God will bless you. So that they make God's relationship toward his people or toward everybody as being reactionary. But he's not reactionary. He's not reacting to anything. He's saving his people in Christ. He's unchangeable. He's immutable. And therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Who are these sons of Jacob? They're God's elect. They're those that are represented and pictured by the man Jacob. Because God said of these two who were born of the same parents, who had the same nature, the same environment, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Ye sons of Jacob, blessed are those that have the God of Jacob as their God. Jacob was a sinner. He was a supplanter, as his very name. He was a conniver. He was just like you and me by nature. But here he is. God is showing himself as a Savior who never changes, whose blessings to Jacob's are not according to what they do. He's not responding to their faith. He's not reacting to their good work. He's not dealing with them on the basis of what they do in their sins. He doesn't change. He doesn't alter. He is eternally the same, and the revelation of God in Him is final and never to be superseded by any other. And He's the same toward His people in that everlasting covenant. In the everlasting covenant of His blood, and He's the same in every promise He's given us. Turn over to the book of chapter 6 here in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Here's a really wonderful thing. Hebrews 6 and verse 17. He says, wherein God, who made this oath, who made this promise, who made this covenant to Abraham and every one of His elect people, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. There they are. They're heirs according to the promise of His grace in Christ. God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel. His unchanging counsel. His unchanging promises. He confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, in the which it was impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. That can't ever change. That won't ever change. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hope upon the, to lay hold of the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, the promise that God has given of eternal life, who God had promised eternal life before the world began, all the promises that He has made to His people in that covenant, every one of them will be true and amen in Christ, because He's already secured the sureness of those promises. He's already entered in to the Holy of Holies. He's already been that priest that entered in with His own blood and secured those covenant promises, ratified that New Testament or covenant that speaks life and salvation to His people. And God, in doing so, shows His immutability. He never changed. What He promised before the world began, what He was proving through all the ages in the Old Testament, what He displayed in the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ and His being raised from the dead, He was just showing and unchanging and immutable purpose of grace in Christ, which He gave to His people, which He made toward them before the world ever was. And that's not going to change. That's not ever going to be altered. And that's what James is saying. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from God above, comes down from this one who is the Father of light, the Father of truth, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What does that mean to us and all our situations? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, we have a past that surely is to be dealt with. We fell in Adam. When we came into this world, we were born sinners, and we have sinned and sinned and sinned. We have a past to be dealt with. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. And not only that, we have a present situation to deal with. We are sinners. We sin every moment. We sin. And we not only sin, but we have all these situations that we're met with and have to deal with, and such as that. He's the same yesterday and today. And we don't know what we'll face tomorrow. We don't know what we'll have to deal with. We have an eternity. Somebody said, "What if I sin tomorrow?" Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this not only is proven true throughout all of history and all the history of God's people, but it is also in this that there's a declaration and a proof of His deity. Only God doesn't change. And so here is God manifest in the flesh. Here is the God-man of whom it is said also, He's the same yesterday and forever. Like the psalmist said, "But Thou art the same, and Thy years have no end." And this is such a marvelous thing to think about. When Christ came, when He came out of what you might say was that great eternal yesterday, when He came in time and was made flesh and dwelt among us, He came to do the Father's will. You remember in the book of Daniel 6. I've often thought about this, how this is a picture of Christ and His death. Whenever there went out a decree from the king that nobody was to worship or pray to any other god but the one king himself, and those wicked men that got together and they knew that Daniel prayed three times a day to Jehovah God. And so they wanted Daniel out of the way. So they gathered together and they had the king to make this edict or this decree, which the scripture says, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, it could not be changed. Could not be changed. So when Daniel was presented by those wicked men as one who had not kept the king's decree, which the law was the law that could not be changed, the only thing he could do was put Daniel in that den of lions. Two times it's emphasized in that chapter that law could not be changed. And so Daniel was cast in the den of lions, and you know the story how that God sent his angels and bound up the mouths of the lions, and he wasn't harmed. And the king went the next morning to look and see if he was dead and eaten up alive, and he found him alive. So he brought him back up out of that den of lions, and he instead threw those wicked men and all their families and all that pertained to them in that den of lions, those same lions, and they gobbled them up. Says that those lions leaped up and crushed their bones before they ever hit the floor of that lion's den. So what did that mean? Was that just a good inspirational Bible story? No. That was a picture of Christ and his death for his people. God does not change. When he said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die." When he has his law, which violated brings always forth death, he did not, in saving us, he did not forget that law or change that law or alter it in any way. He's always the same. So when he purposed to save his people, it was with the purpose and the knowledge and the intention of saving them all in a way that his law was not altered and his justice was not infringed upon in any way. So he put their Savior in the lion's den. He put him in there to go through this picture of death and resurrection. Except with Christ, he met that judgment. He met that suffering. He met that just punishment of sin. He's there in that lion's den of God's justice, facing a law and a command that could not ever be altered. Yet to save his people, he must die the death and be raised from the dead. So God, in saving his people, did not change. That's what men think, that God, in the coming of Christ, this means a contingency plan, or when he died, when he was rejected of men, God turned and did something different like that. No, this is an unchanging God doing all that was necessary not to change. Not to be less just. Not to be less holy. not to be more gracious or more merciful, but to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ drank the last drop of the cup of God's wrath against our sin on the cross. And that not only for those who went before of His people, but those also in His own day that were His people, and all those in every age to pass that are His people. He shall save His people from their sins. He will not change in order to do so. He will remain just in the doing of it. He will show that justice as being satisfied in this way. He'll raise Him up from the dead. And because He is still just, every one of those for whom Christ died, for whom He paid the price, that same justice requires them to go free. To go free. You see, this sameness of Christ is our comfort because He is unchangeable in His person. He is unchangeable in His perfections. He can't get any better. The Father is always going to be pleased with Him and those in Him. He's unchangeable in His essence as God. No one will ever overpower Him or be out from under His sovereign rule. He's unchangeable in His love to His people. He's loved us with an everlasting love and will love us. He's unchangeable in the fullness of His grace. It's always free. He's unchangeable in the efficacy of His blood. The hymn writer said that His blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Sometimes I get discouraged in trying to preach, and I see so little outward evidence of what I humanly would call blessing or the work of God's Spirit. But I know this: His blood shall never lose its power till everyone that Christ died for is saved to sin no more. Everyone. Not one will be left. And therefore, He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Not one of them. They'll not be consumed by themselves, their sins, the devil, the world, though it seems like sometimes we will be, they'll never be consumed. So when the writer of Hebrews in chapter 13 makes that statement, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Notice what he follows that with. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, not with outward things, not what for physical things, not for things that appear to the eye, but that it be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Don't be moved away from what God teaches in His Word. Don't be moved from the doctrines of Scripture. Don't be moved from Christ alone. Don't be moved from Him being the Lord, our righteousness. Don't be moved and carried about and tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, with different and strange doctrines. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And that's our hope. That's our hope. The Lord Jesus is the same. He's not unstable and fickle. He's the same as our teacher. His doctrine does not vary. His will does not fluctuate. His purpose does not alter. Therefore, we should remain steadfast in the truth. And we should forsake and shun all novelties, all innovations of men. I remember one time, Brother Henry Mahan and Brother Scott Richardson were sitting down and they were just talking about the Scriptures and the Gospel. And they started talking about why they knew that their Gospel, that this Gospel was the Gospel. And it was the right thing to be preached in this hour. And one of the first things that they recognized was this, that God is still the same. The second thing was that man is still the same. And that Christ is still the same. And God saves sinners in the same way. The gospel's always relative. The grace of God is always salvation. The Lord does not change. In Him there's no variableness, nor shadow of turning. And when James says this, and I'll hush, when he says every good and every perfect gift, every good gift, truly good, every lasting thing, everything God gives in Christ, every good and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights, the God of truth, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Some of you have experienced a lot of change. Vicki, you don't have your mother on earth anymore. Joe, you don't have Lorna. Betty, you don't have Rupert. You've had change of body. You're sick. You never know what's coming tomorrow. But God is ever going to be faithful to His promises, because He doesn't change. What was that hymn said? Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Keep on abiding with me. Keep on saving me by your grace. Keep on watching over me. Keep on protecting me. Keep on providing me for me. Keep on giving me faith. Keep on giving me encouragement. Keep on helping me to see the truth and rest in it. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and for your grace, for your will and your purpose, all of which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are ever changing in ourselves, up and down, in and out, fickle, ever altering in our encouragement, or weak one day in faith, seemingly strong in faith the next day. But our hope is not in anything we are or do, but it's in your unchanging grace and purpose in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and we thank you in His name. Amen.